Catechism. What we're going to do this afternoon is, do you confess it together? Say it out loud together? Or do I read it, right? Okay. So, Lord's Day 50, question answer 125. The question is, what does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. And in connection with that, we'll look at Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Three times, right? Jesus says, do not worry in this passage. 25 to 34. You hear God's word. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things that Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I'd like to really focus on Lord's Day 50. That's where our outline comes from. Give us today our daily bread. And the first part focuses on, Father, provide for our needs. And the second part, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust on you. So it's all contingent or based on the address, right? Our Father who art in heaven. So Father, give us this day our daily bread. You probably see the connection, don't you, between the fourth petition and the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. In the third petition, if you look at the Lord's Day 49, we pray, Father, help us to obey your will. That means without any back talk. And help us to serve you in your kingdom willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. And yet, how shall we carry out our callings unless God provides us with the food to eat? God gives us food to sustain us. True. But life is more than just eating food. Right? We don't just work to eat. That's how the world tends to look at it, and only that. But we eat to work. More importantly, God gives us food for what purpose? To strengthen us for the work which he calls us to do in his kingdom. It's all about his kingdom. That's where the Lord's Prayer begins. It begins with the focus on who he is and his kingdom. And so that's why we pray, Lord, in order for us to fulfill our tasks, in order to fulfill our callings, whatever that calling may be, do provide us with daily food. It's not just so that we can serve ourselves and that we become really big ourselves. No, that the Lord may become big and that he may be served, that he may be glorified, that his kingdom may expand. That's really the focus of this Lord's Prayer. It's all centered on God, not ourselves. So immediately, how the fourth petition we see is a petition which is really God-centered, kingdom-minded, kingdom-oriented kind of request, isn't it? Maybe we could pray it this way. Strengthen us, Heavenly Father, with this food for the work that you have given us to do in your kingdom. Help us to carry it out as royal sons and daughters in our world that you have made. And so in this request, we pray, Father, give us today our daily bread. And we see, first of all, we're praying, Father, provide for all our needs. And here the emphasis is on our physical needs, food and health. You think of that word bread. Bread stands as one word which stands for many things. It stands for our physical needs. 125 begins this way. Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs. So bread stands for everything that we need physically or materially. The word bread then would include food, drink, shelter, clothing, health, work. The word bread is everything we need for today. So you take, for example, already in Exodus 16, before this time when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. They didn't know the Lord's Prayer at that time, but God was teaching them something. He was teaching his people how to live in the wilderness in a hostile environment, right? The wilderness was not a nice environment to live in. And even then, the Lord was teaching them one day at a time. Today, don't worry about tomorrow. One day at a time. The Lord said to Moses, if you look at Exodus 16, verse 4, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. Each day. God was teaching his people what? He was teaching his people to depend on him day by day. Not just sometimes. You know, here's your week's worth, and every once in a while you can call upon him. No, day by day, ongoing dependence upon the Lord, upon our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 6, Jesus basically says the same thing. He counsels us not to worry about tomorrow. He says each day has enough trouble of its own. We can fast forward a bit from the time of Exodus 16 to Elijah. Boy, troubling days that Elijah faced when he was a prophet. Think of it. It was a time of severe famine, no food, no rain, and physical danger. And yet, through it all, the Lord protected his servant Elijah. He instructed him to hide in the brook Cherith. You notice how God provided for him each and every day again? The ravens brought him food and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. God made sure that Elijah was well fed and well looked after in such a miraculous way, hiding in the brook Cherith. Each day, morning and evening, not just to keep him alive, but that he may carry out his calling in the world. In this case, that he may carry out his calling to bring the word of the Lord to God's people. God was more than just interested in keeping Elijah physically alive and feeling healthy. No, he had a further purpose, the kingdom. In this case, the church of Israel. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. The people who are scurrying about frenetically, frantically in our society, they're the Gentiles who put the cart before the horse. They're in a frenzy because they're not really trusting in the Heavenly Father to provide for them. Not as a Gentile, says Jesus. That's them. Don't live like them. You trust in me. I've called you to be my people. Trust. Each day again, we're dependent on the Lord, aren't we? In our society, really, there's very little worry about where we're going to get the next slice of bread. Although many would say, if you were to ask many people and say, well, where does our bread come from? What would they say? From the grocery store. Oh, yeah, but what if the grocery store shelves are empty? I mean, recently we've been seeing a lot of empty grocery stores, empty shelves in grocery stores. You can turn them into a basketball court. Right? That's how empty they are. Where does the food come from? Not from the grocery stores. There's place there. Many of our parents and grandparents, they lived through the war and lived through the Great Depression. It's so good. It's so important for children and grandchildren to hear their stories. Why? Because like with Elijah, and like with the people in the wilderness, they tell amazing stories about how God provided through for them, even through all the food rations during these times, the food shortages and empty grocery shelves. You know, we have to remember too that we must not find our security in our economy as a nation. Everything is economy, 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 economy. That's sort of become the God. That's been sort of the watchword of the last generation or so. Economy this, economy that. Economies collapse. They fall. Then what? They're not infallible. They don't stand on their own. And so we pray, Father, provide for all our physical needs. Don't forget for what purpose? To serve him in his kingdom. But here the catechism gives two reasons why. The first reason is so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. Not the grocery store, but God, our Father. He's the source of everything good, the only source. And that's why. Isn't that why we pray with our children at the table when we eat a meal together? I trust that's still a practice. Before a meal, after a meal, God provides. And we want them to recognize with us as parents that the food we are eating did not just come from a refrigerator, didn't just come from Loblaws. It came from, ultimately, from the hand of the Lord. The source is God's own fatherly hand who gives the rain, the sunshine. God provides workers to plant, to harvest, to process, the truckers to deliver the goods. Spring is coming. We trust that the Lord will provide the climate, the weather, such that we can plant the seed. He's the one, he's the source of all our physical needs to provide for that. So simple. Think of this very simple prayer that echoes our confession of question answer 125. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands, we all are fed. Thank you, Father, for our daily bread. God provides for our daily needs so that we may recognize that he is good. In providing life, health, food, God, ultimately, what does he do? He gives witness to himself and to the fact that he is the one who provides. Think of Acts 14. God really wants to bear witness of himself, that he is the good God, the great God to whom we can call upon. Apostle Paul went to Lystra. And what's the first thing Paul did? He called them to turn away from those worthless idols to the living God, the one who made heaven and earth and everything in them. And God's witness in the creation shows that he's the source of everything good. Paul says to people in Lystra, he says, he did not leave himself without witness and that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven, fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Here we see a missionary God, don't we? The church should be bearing witness of him who witnesses of himself in all creation. Right? The food, the sunshine, all of it just resplendent of his gracious, bountiful, fatherly hand. Romans 2, verse 4 says, God's kindness that you see should lead men to repentance and to believe in Christ. Yeah. You think about it, we really need to be on guard on those who preach redistribution of wealth, the teaching that governing authorities may take away from the rich and give it to the poor. No, no, they're not the source of everything good, our governing authorities. The Father is. It's not for them to take and say, we take from you and we give to somebody else. Think of the current bill, C-223, as it stands before our Canadian Parliament today. It's called the Guaranteed Livable Basic Income for all persons over 17 years across Canada. Right? Everyone is guaranteed an income. If this law passes, that is, 17 years and older, it only further strengthens the lie, the falsehood, that the state, not God, is the source of everything good. We pray, Father, provide for our daily needs, physical needs. Provide for our physical needs. And there's a second reason why we do that. The second reason is that we may recognize, as our catechism says, that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Even for that, we're dependent upon him. Our work doesn't ensure success. That's only dependent upon the Lord. And we can trust him for that. Each day, again, we must rely on God, who alone gives the blessing. His blessing is not earned. It's not gained by us through our worries or by our work or by his gifts to us. These don't do any good. Our worries don't do any good without his blessing. Yet at the same time, we recognize that God uses our work in order to bless us, in order to bless the work of his kingdom. He won't bless us without our work. It's the farmers, the millers, the bakers who bake the bread. Not God. He doesn't bake the bread. He provides for the bread. And they do so. The farmers, the millers, and the bakers do so under the Lord's blessing. He sends the rain. He sends the sunshine. He gives the seed to sprout. And we reap. He provides. We depend upon him for every blessing. The Bible shows too, a man who does not work shows his confession. A man who does not work shows his confession. What is his confession? He confesses that he's really not depending on him, on the Lord, for daily bread, nor for his blessing. The confessing Christian prays, Father, give us. Give us so that we may fulfill our callings, our work in your kingdom. Love what the Apostle Paul says to the church of Corinth. You know, after the defense of the resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, the very last words he says to all the members of the church of Corinth, he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast in the Lord, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We work believing that God will bless. Just on a side note, I think especially for young people, those in their teens, maybe a little older than the teens, You think about the purpose of work. It's the kingdom that ought to be in our purview. We ought to be kingdom-minded, kingdom-oriented. And what surprises me at times is how few people God seems to be calling into the ministry or into the mission field. Or is it possibly that as you consider your options, there's a broad range of options of how you can serve God and his kingdom, that maybe you don't even consider ministry or the mission field on your radar. Maybe it's not in your radar even. We need preachers of this kind of stuff to reorient people to say, this food is not just for me. This food that God gives us, all their daily blessings are there to serve God and his kingdom. We need preachers. We need missionaries so that we have more kingdom-minded, more kingdom-oriented Christians in our world, especially, I think, in our cities. People from all nations. They're so lost. They're so disoriented. Everything is about themselves. Everything's about their own money. Making money, money, money. For what? To look good? For what? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So that. Think about it. We could use 100 more missionaries in the city of Toronto and still wouldn't be enough. Maybe God's calling you. Just at least consider it. Consider it as a possibility. Wow. You think about it. When we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we do so that we may see even the world fulfilling its calling to serve the Creator, to spread the glory of his kingdom. This is really a God-centered, God-oriented request, isn't it? It's so that we may be a blessing. Think about it too with, sometimes think about it with retired people too. You know, we retire and there's so many things we could do with our remaining years that the Lord gives us. 10 years or 20 years. And the Lord has provided for your daily food. And the Lord delights in the service of his people. But it doesn't stop at 65. You know, and often we think about, well, where shall we go on our next cruise? Where shall we go on our next vacation? How about this? Maybe there's a retired couple that can move into the city and serve among new believers who just need examples of those who can teach, model what it means to pray for our daily bread and for what purpose it is that we may serve for the glory of his kingdom. Wow. We pray, therefore, provide for all our physical needs so that, right, that we may serve in your kingdom. But people need the gospel for that. How can we ever expect them? We can call them lazy people for not doing their work, but what do we expect unless we go out there with the fire of the gospel, and that they come to see and realize, oh, this is why, this is what the purpose is of all the food and clothing and the goods that God gives us. Lord, provide for our physical needs for today. There's more. With that comes the request, help us to trust you. And help us to trust you alone, Heavenly Father. We pray, if you look at the last part of 125, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures. Well, that's a lifelong thing, isn't it? Withdrawing our trust from other creatures and place it in you alone. Boy, that's safe. That's certainty. That's everything. We easily worry about our health, and our health fails us often, especially as we get older. We worry about our work. We worry about our finances. We worry about the well-being of our children. Yeah, what's the future for our children and grandchildren? You see the way in which our country is going? Where's all things going? It's easy for us to place our trust in creatures and think if we do this, if we replace the government, if we do this or that, maybe. But the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 146, don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is some help. No, in whom there is no help. There's no help in them. What's the answer? Help us, Father, to trust in you alone. Alone. And that's why three times Jesus says to us, as younger brothers and sisters of him, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And he just points to very simple examples of birds that don't worry. Think of the wintertime. There's snow on the ground, and you always see them flying around. How come, boys and girls, how come you always see birds flying around? Where do they get their food? Do you feed them? Do you let them eat out of your hands? Probably not. You know what Jesus says? He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, Jesus is not saying don't sow, don't reap. But he says that's what birds can't sow or reap. And even then, he feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You're way more valuable than a budgie or a sparrow or a cardinal. And then Jesus goes on. He says, let me give you another example. You know those beautiful flowers that you see in your garden? They'll be sprouting up soon. He says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon was dressed like one of these. Jesus is not saying here, don't work. Don't plan wisely. Of course we do. Certainly we prepare our churches. We prepare ourselves. We prepare our children for the future, for a rainy day. Yeah, and for increasing government overreach that's coming into the churches, into the schools. If the trajectory continues, it's coming. And then the ever-rising fuel prices, the skyrocketing prices for groceries. Many people are living in a pinch. Rising interest rates. Oh, they're removing a charitable statuses, beginning with pro-life organizations. Don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in a charitable tax status. It's fine if it goes. You belong to your Heavenly Father. We plan wisely, yes, we plan wisely, but we should not live in fear and with worry. After all, to whom does the kingdom belong? It belongs to Christ. He sits on the throne. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world belongs to him, to whom? To the Lord and to his Christ. All things, I mean, just comprehensively in his hands. It's about his kingdom. These kingdoms are nothing to God, really. You can flick them off his shoulder just like that. Plan wisely, yes, but don't worry. Our lives are in our Father's hands. What is your only comfort in life and in death? I'm not my own, but belong body and soul, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And when it comes to tomorrow, Jesus says, don't even worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So much wisdom in these five words, eh? Give us today our daily bread. A lot of wisdom there. God knows best. This prayer teaches us ongoing dependence day by day. Give us today our daily bread. Children, you know, you trust your fathers and your mothers, right? Every morning you get breakfast on your table. Have they ever forgotten you? You always had cereal and a piece of toast with egg on it. It's always there for you every single morning. And your parents want you to grow, and they just don't want to just feed you. They want to make you serve God. They want to see you serve God and glorify Him in your work. That's their purpose. How much more God, our Heavenly Father, right? He is so fully trustworthy and dependable. He also feeds us. If our own parents don't forget to feed us, He's not going to forget to take care of us. We can depend upon Him. And you know, do we want proof of that? Romans 8. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how much more will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? There's the proof. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. And He offered Himself on the cross for sinners. And He still offers Himself today through His word. And He says, whoever comes to Me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. That's the message they hear. That's the perspective we need out of which we can pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When by faith we embrace Christ, we come to see what is most important. What's most important? Go back to the three petitions, the first ones. Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are the most important. Isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, His name, His kingdom, His will. And then all these other things shall be added unto you. And may it be for the glory and the establishment of His kingdom.